Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
I'm excited. It's Pentecost.
It is.
Woo!
Yeah.
So here we are, 7:30 p.m. on Pentecost Sunday.
We're done counting you over.
We are done. Today's day zero.
Day zero.
As a matter of fact, this year is kind of exciting because, Hebrew feast of Shavuot started last evening at sundown.
Mm-hmm.
And since the sun hasn't gone down yet, we're still in it. So this year, the two Pentecosts coincide exactly, which is kind of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Woo. It gets me excited. And as you know, this is the, and we're going to read the account, of course, because you can't not read Acts chapter 2.
True.
And
although there might be some people that have it.
Oh, really?
Sad, yeah.
Oh, sad to say. You should have it memorized by now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's before we start, you know, I always like to, because, you know, you're going to get an Old Testament reference out of us along the way. But, you know, this actually was one of the great feasts of Israel. It was called Shavuot, which means the Feast of Weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you counted 49 days from the first Sabbath after the Passover, and then the 50th day was Pentecost.
Right.
Shavuot. That's why it's called the Feast of Weeks. And it was originally a harvest feast for the wheat harvest.
Which I was just going to ask you if you would explain to the listeners what it was originally.
Yeah, it was the big harvest. And of course,
it was a big harvest?
It was a big harvest. It was a little barley harvest in the earlier in the spring.
Yeah.
Then the wheat harvest was now, which was the big harvest. And of course, Pentecost is also called the birthday of the church. And with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened that day, got them, those people that were there, and by extension us, ready for the big harvest.
Yeah.
Woo! And then later it also came to commemorate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And of course, after Messiah Yeshua, Jesus did his work and the Holy Spirit comes, the law goes from being written on stone tablets to being written in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. So this is a pretty exciting day. And for awesome. Us charismatic Pentecostal types, this is a big day for us.
It is.
If you're not charismatic or Pentecostal, you probably
should be.
Yeah, you should be.
No two ways about it. If you're not, you should be.
I was going to say,
if you're not born of water and the Spirit,
amen.
You got to get with the program.
I was going to say, there's people at home and in their car going, "Oh no, they're a couple of kooks."
Well, you know, sad to say, there is a big division in the church between those who believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and those who don't.
Yeah.
And those who believe in the life of the Holy Spirit and those who don't.
Yes.
And it's quite a clear contrast. And you know, it's something that we always want to talk about unity in the body, and hey, you know, we want to have these kumbaya moments like, hey, we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, truthfully, the Spirit came so that the Spirit would guide us and lead us in all truth, as Jesus said, and
yeah.
He would remind us of all that Jesus taught us.
Yeah.
And what comes with the Spirit is power.
Yeah.
And anointing. The same anointing that came upon Jesus Christ in the Jordan. Some people don't want that power. Some people don't want that anointing. They just want to, you know, I just want to do this by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk with anybody about Jesus. And that's not what God calls us to. That's not what the Spirit calls us to.
That's right.
You're there to proclaim the love of your life.
Yes.
You know, when you're in love with somebody, do you want to hide it?
Yeah.
No. You tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
When you don't like somebody, you might tell people about that too, but.
Yeah.
You know, it's the coming of the Spirit is such an important event in the spiritual life of the church and in the fulfillment of God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says that to his disciples. Wait here.
Yes.
For the coming of the Holy Spirit about which you have heard me speak.
Yes.
So this wasn't just like, oh my gosh, what is this? This has just caught us off guard. Jesus was preparing them for this.
Yes. And immediately as part of the Great Commission.
Yeah.
He says, you guys are going to preach all over, even to the ends of the earth, but you're not going to start until the outpouring. You're not going to start until you're clothed with power. You're not going to start until the promise of my Father is
here. Yeah. I think Peter was ready to start go out on his own. And
oh, he was,
Jesus
he was
like,
ready.
No, dude, no, you got to wait.
He was going to do street ministry. Yeah, well, he became quite a preacher after this.
Yes, he did, as we will see.
As I'm sure we'll cover probably next week, too. I'm sure, probably the week after that. But, you know, it's pretty hard to cover that whole, even like the 1 hour period after Pentecost in a half hour show.
That's true.
But,
shall we read the account?
You're right in the sense that a lot of people have the idea that the Holy Spirit worked at that time. And then by the time of the sort of the end of the first century, when the last apostle died, John, then that was it.
He went on vacation.
Then he hasn't done anything since then. And I mean, that's clearly, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. He's going to remind you of what I said. He's going to convict the world of sin. And I mean, these are all things that, are obviously still going on today. And as you pointed out, by extension to us, we can't do any kind of meaningful ministry without that power. We can't really do it effectively with the power that we have within ourselves.
Right.
I mean, you can give it a good try and you can have committee meetings and, you know, you can, you can sit around for hours talking about who's going to go where and who's going to do what, but the power comes from the Spirit. Renewal comes from the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the whole life of the church is tied up in that.
Yeah, no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Woo. Woo. And one more thing before you read the account, you know, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about all these things, talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and that these are for the building up of the body.
Right.
These gifts are continually. It's not like the people in the first century got gifts, and then after the first century was over, nobody had gifts anymore.
Yeah.
that would be silly.
Well, that's true. The Holy Spirit continues to be outpoured or poured out by God's grace because the life of the church is, you know, the church is living.
Yeah.
It's not just some brick institution.
Exactly.
It's made up of men and women.
Yeah.
Adopted sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
Who go out and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, and that there's forgiveness of sins in his name.
Yes.
And so, you know, the Holy Spirit is a great gift to us. And there's, you know, at times, as we'll see here, there was scoffing at what happened. There was snickering and scoffing and like, this can't be. What are these people doing? They're scoffing at the Holy Spirit. They're squelching at the Holy Spirit. But then there's people who accept and receive the Holy Spirit. So that's, you know, we want to be people that receive the Holy Spirit because this is God's gift to us after Jesus ascends into heaven.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus told his disciples, go and wait in Jerusalem and don't leave the city until you're clothed with power from on high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, you know, and once he did that, they went to the upper room where they were staying and they prayed of one accord.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that for 9 days.
Mm-hmm.
It was 9 days before the Holy Spirit fell upon them.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing before you read the account. And what you're saying about, you know, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. I was thinking as you said that in John 16, where Jesus is talking about when the other paraclete comes, or the comforter comes, depending which translation you have. It says, when he convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, he says of sin because they do not believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
So without him interceding, without him kind of exerting his power, you can't believe that Jesus is Lord.
Right.
And according to this passage, you know, Jesus is saying, if you don't believe in me, that's the sin that you're going to get convicted of.
Well, there's a real simple truth that the Holy Spirit reveals or guides us and leads us in all truth. And what the Holy Spirit does in everybody's life is convicts us of sin in our life.
Yep.
And at that point, we have a choice to make. We could either acknowledge that and ask God for forgiveness and there's reconciliation, or we can become proud and tell God to not mess with my life and reject the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Those two things happen with every individual. And if you want to have a life of holiness, you have to choose what the Holy Spirit is showing you and amend your life and put on Christ. If you want to stay in the world, then you reject the Holy Spirit and you make excuses for yourself and you say, well, I'm not that bad of a person. That can't be me. How dare God judge me like that?
Mm-hmm.
And people do that.
Yeah. And you know, in Romans and also in Galatians and probably some other places, Paul talks about how the spirit and the flesh are always at war with each other.
Exactly.
Because the spirit shows you something, tells you something, and your flesh says, eh, you know what? I'm doing pretty well the way I am.
Right.
Or I'd like to go do that thing over there. And maybe I'll get back to you later, but mm-hmm. right now I think I'd like to go do that thing.
What you say right there is a real challenge because, oh, but I was going to do this. And boy, if I do that, if I give in to what the Holy Spirit is saying right now, then I can't go and do that other thing.
Yes.
So God always calls us to make a decision.
Yes.
At the point where he's meeting us at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the Holy Spirit works.
Yeah.
He's not going to abandon us. Jesus says, I'm not going to abandon you and leave you orphan. I'm going to send you the advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's real power in the Holy Spirit, and it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of truth.
Yeah. And this is why we both love that old Hebrew word, hineni, which means here I am. You know, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
But it's hard to say hineni, here I am, what do you want me to do? Because you might not want to do what he's telling you to do.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You don't know. Yeah, you don't know where it's going to lead. You don't know what's going to be involved.
Yeah.
You might lose friends over it. You might lose money over it. You might lose a job over it. You might, mm-hmm. who knows?
That's true. And if those things hold us back,
yeah.
then we have to look at even Abraham and say, okay, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Righteousness, yes.
He placed everything in his belief in God.
Yes.
Even so that he was going to mm-hmm. willing to give back his only son,
mm-hmm.
you know, so do my acquaintances, do my possessions, do my, acquiring of things, you know, from a worldly perspective, prevent me from entering more fully and more deeply into this life that God really has for me,
mm.
you know? So before the show's over, should we read the
should
account?
Should we read
the account of the apostles?
Oh, wait, one more. No.
And another thing.
Let's see what Dr. Luke wrote about it.
Okay. So this is the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God. They were all astounded and bewildered and said to one another, what does this mean? But others said, scoffing, they have had too much new wine.
Yeah, let's pause there.
Didn't take long for somebody to scoff.
Always a scoffer. You
always
know?
A scoffer in the crowd.
Yeah. When you talk to any crowd, you've always got some scoffers in the group.
Yeah.
But interestingly, you know, the first line of this is when Pentecost had fully come. This is the end of counting the Omer, as we mm-hmm. talked about before, so we're not going to rehash that. But this is why it's good to study the Old Testament. Otherwise, you don't understand why it says when the day of Pentecost had fully come.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, and it the cool thing was the spirits manifested with wind and with fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously a loud thing. It isn't subtle.
Right.
It isn't like when Jesus was talking to them, you know, when they were in the boat. I mean, this is something everybody in the city was aware of.
Everybody heard it, yeah.
And the other reason to study the Old Testament is all these people that are there, they're all Jews from all these different places that are listed.
Why were they there?
Because Shavuot, Pentecost, is one of the pilgrimage feasts. And every man has to go to Jerusalem for the pilgrimage feasts. And every man has to go and make an offering. You're not allowed to come empty-handed. So there's thousands and thousands more people in the city than there normally would be, because people would come from all around. And even, you know, some of these guys came even from Rome and from some of these farther away places.
Mm-hmm.
They must have got good flights and made it cheap to
airfare,
Jerusalem,
yeah,
for all the pilgrimage feasts.
Camel Airlines.
Yeah, so they were there so that this happened when there were more people in the city than normally would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same with Passover that year when Jesus died.
Right.
Everybody could see what was going on.
Right.
Everybody sees this outpouring of the Spirit. They don't understand it. It says they were confused. And I think, too, it's interesting that it happens on the first day of the week. It happens on a Sunday,
mm-hmm,
which is another, you know, Sunday reference.
Right.
We're not going to get into Sabbaths and Sundays, but, you know, the resurrection was a Sunday, and Jesus appearing twice in the upper room was a Sunday, and,
yep,
Pentecost was a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, 120 people, I mean, there were men and women. You know, Mary was there.
Mm-hmm.
It specifically tells us, but 120 people who were praying in one accord. There were no divisions. You know, it was a Psalm 133 time. It's probably, like I say, the only time in Christian history where there were no divisions. Everybody was praying in unity when the Spirit falls.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus had told them it was going to happen in a very few days.
Yeah.
They couldn't, I mean, they didn't understand what this was going to be, obviously. They didn't know what to expect.
True.
But boy, when it happened, they knew about it. They knew that something happened because there were physical manifestations.
Yes.
It wasn't just like a spiritual, you know, you can be praying somewhere and the Holy Spirit can enlighten your mind to something or show you something or give you a word about something. And somebody who's standing next to you isn't aware that that's happening to you.
Yeah.
In this case, everybody was aware that something was happening.
Well, there was a physical manifestation,
yeah,
that they visibly saw.
Yeah. And a lot of noise.
And a lot of noise, which they physically heard. So there's the wind, the driving wind. I mean, think about it when a strong storm comes into,
yeah,
the area, and you can hear the wind blowing, you know, rustling through the trees and stuff. You can hear it off in the distance. But it appeared to them as tongues of fire,
yes,
which then parted and came to rest on each one of them.
Yes.
Now you have a physical manifestation of a flame,
mm-hmm,
or fire and coming to rest upon you.
Yes. And each one of them got a gift. Each one of them got an anointing.
Yeah.
Each one of them was impacted by the flame.
And it makes me think of when Moses encountered the burning bush.
Mm.
You know, there's that flame again.
Yeah.
You know, when God was a pillar of fire for the Israelites in the desert as he guided them through the desert. You know, there's that manifestation of fire. So the Holy Spirit comes to them and rests upon each one of them. And they began to speak in different tongues about the mighty works of God.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't proclaim things about themselves.
Right.
Peter didn't say, hey, man, I'm a great fisherman. And boy, oh, boy, did I have a big catch the other week when Jesus was around.
I got a really cool boat.
You know, they proclaimed about the mighty works of God.
Yeah.
And then all the people that were there from the different districts and from the different geographical areas, they heard the person in their own dialect,
mm-hmm,
in their own language.
In their own language.
And it astounded them.
Yeah.
Now this, you know, this still happens today. There are times when the Holy Spirit is outpoured and somebody starts speaking in a tongue,
mm-hmm,
and somebody from another land,
mm-hmm,
will hear their language,
mm-hmm,
and that person goes, I don't know a word of that language.
Yes.
But yet they heard them proclaiming the mighty acts of God in that language.
Yes.
Still happens today.
Yes.
Father Hampsch has a couple tape series on it.
Yeah.
About, you know, just witnessing to that.
Well, Patty Mansfield, during the famous Duquesne weekend when the Holy Spirit fell, mm-hmm, on this whole group of college students that were at a retreat.
Right.
Patty Mansfield was a French literature major.
Right.
And she heard a guy who was in the room who was He thought he was saying things that didn't make any sense to him. He was praying in tongues. She heard the whole thing in French and later said to him, I didn't know you could speak such good French. So these guys, you know, says, aren't these guys all Galileans?
Mm-hmm.
And how come we understand them all?
Right.
And that fire, you know, one of the things fire does is it brings light.
Yeah.
So it enlightens their mind and their hearts to what Jesus had told them, what he had said to them, what he meant to them, what he did for them. The scriptures that they had heard since they were little kids every Saturday morning in the synagogue. Suddenly, you know, as we're going to see probably next week, Peter's going to start quoting from Joel, which he didn't generally do in his day-to-day life.
But
also, you know, fire purifies things. You know, when you make gold and silver, you make a really hot fire and the ore, you put the ore in and the precious metal melts and comes out and the gunk, the dross gets
the impurities,
left behind.
Yeah.
And this is happening all through this place.
Yeah.
And of course it's going to lead to them lighting other fires because they're then going to carry the fire.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't believe the gifts of the Spirit are operative now, how are all these other fires going to be lit? Mm-hmm. How is, when Paul says you can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit, if that's not going on today, how's anybody going to say Jesus is Lord?
Exactly.
You can't say that the Holy Spirit hasn't been active since then.
Right, exactly. And that's what I was alluding to earlier, as you said, you know, the Holy Spirit brings fire, but it purifies, is that when we're convicted of something that the Holy Spirit shows us, it's for our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to condemn us. But it's to our benefit to reconcile with God. So, and it does bring light. And the, you know, there's just been so many things that I know I've witnessed over the years through the power of the Holy Spirit. People healed, you know, person's sight restored, people healed of, you know, one form of sickness or another, one form of disease or another, physically healed from an ailment. You know, a bad back or a bad knee. And God chooses to do those things. But the greatest, you know, the greatest healing that we receive is when we really come back and have our faith restored in God.
Yes. And then even if you're not physically healed,
right,
the spiritual healing is the important part.
The spiritual healing is the important part. And you know, as you said earlier, the gifts are there for the body.
Yeah.
They're there for the building up of the body and to glorify God.
Yeah.
And that is the most important part of all of this.
Yeah.
And, you know, the gifts, everybody who's a new believer and receives the Holy Spirit, you have to learn how to use the gift. You really have to ask God how, you know, what do I do with this?
Exactly.
Because you're used to your carnal nature.
Yes.
You don't want to use it in an improper way.
Yeah. And Paul points out there's many different gifts with the same Spirit. There's
exactly.
many different ministries with the same Spirit.
Exactly.
And in Ephesians 4, he talks about how all that works together for the building up of the body.
Yeah.
And so, if everybody had the same gift, like I have the gift of music and you have the gift of music. I mean, if every believer had the gift of music, I mean, you'd get some great music, but then there'd be a lot of other things that wouldn't get done.
That's true.
If everybody had the gift of preaching, they'd be preaching all over the place.
Exactly.
And so everybody got, and I was struck when I first realized this about the individual tongue of flame that came over each person. It wasn't a general flame that kind of filled up the room.
Right.
It fell on each person.
Yeah.
And then you see a change in these people because at that moment they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, in a very literal way.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had the baptism of the Spirit, but there was no driving wind. There was no tongue of flame or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We were impacted by him in very powerful ways. But here you had the physical manifestation, and then you see, as we'll get to eventually, the difference that that causes in all of these people.
Yeah.
I mean, we hear what we hear what Peter does that day.
Right.
But we don't know. They all were doing something. I can't
True.
Believe the show's over already.
It is.
I hope you've had an awesome Pentecost day.
And we pray that as the apostles and the disciples in the upper room receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you too would be open to receiving this great gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the gift of the Father that comes through Jesus Christ, that He will lead us in all truth and guide us in all that Jesus taught us. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.